to 18. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying.
I have to take a deep breath. I left my brother's house at 12 o'clock his time, and I thought I had allowed good time to be here for church service. And then I just got to the last snow shed in the pass, and I was stopped. And I lost about an hour because there had been an accident. And so once we got through there, I've been just driving steady to get here. So I take a deep breath. And it feels good to be with you. To be in a quiet place where in the last couple of hours there's just been vehicles zooming in every direction. Wow. I have brought with me some of these letters the Gospel Troubadours Prison Fellowship puts out. They're on the table in the back there. Indeed, pick them up. One of the important factors that is in the letter, there is also on posters. There are posters back there because on the 14th of September, we're going to have a music day at what we used to call Refuge Ranch. Now it's Open Country Farm, and the map is there about where it's situated. So there's going to be a music day on the 14th of September. Come join us. It's going to be a blessed, blessed day. I know it will, because we haven't had one now since June. And so we're looking forward to it. This is the third time that I'm here. The first time, well, it's not the third time that I'm here, but third time that I'm speaking behind the pulpit. And the first time I spoke of exhortation. The second time I spoke of discernment. And today I want to speak of a little bit about the battle and preparing for it. And the hymns that were chosen were very appropriate, weren't they? Father God, I just pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. May we be prepared to hear your word and then to respond to it in our daily lives. We give you thanks and praise for how you have maintained and kept your word for us even today. And I pray that we would not take it for granted. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I thought of David as I was contemplating the message of the scripture. I thought of David and his battle with Goliath. Well, there he was. He was just a shepherd guy, and he was going to bring some stuff to his brothers who were in the military. And his father sends him, and he's gone. And he comes to the battlefield, and whoa, there's something going on here that he says, whoa, this is not appropriate. What's going on? First of all, his brothers say, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You should be home looking after father's sheep. You shouldn't be here. Well, he is inquiring, and all of a sudden he finds out that, look, there's this, well, he refers to this filthy Philistine. And what? You're going to be afraid of him? I'm going to take care of this guy. And Saul, the king, he's kind of like, hey, buddy, if you're going to take him on, I'll give you my armor. You put on my armor to protect you against this Philistine. And he puts it on. And oh my goodness, he says, I can't move with this stuff. No. And he takes it off. He just goes in whatever loincloth he may have had on. I don't know what all he was wearing, but he goes and picks up some stones out of the brook and meets him. And we know the story, don't we? Hit the mark. The guy goes down. Then he grabs his sword and whacks off his head. There. Wow. Without any armor. He was completely on the offensive. We gotta take care of this. And then I thought of another situation. David. And he didn't have his armor on. And he wasn't where he should have been. He should have been in the battle somewhere, and he wasn't. He was at home. And from where he was, he could see the neighbor lady, one of his good officers in the military. She was having a bath. And we know the story. And it virtually destroyed his life. Like he had misery through that relationship for a long time. He should have been in the battlefield wearing his armor, and he wasn't. I thought of that. We recognize the book of Ephesians as a book where Paul is telling the Jewish people, look, this church that Jesus has come to start, this is not just for the Jews, it is for the Greek, it is for mankind. And he's been going at it for some time, and here we are in the final chapter, and he, in verse 10, he says, finally. Okay. This is my final words to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, in our own strength, we will not be strong. We don't have it. We can't get it done. In our own strength, we will not be strong. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Put everything up. Put the whole armor on. And then, of course, he goes and he describes it a little bit. And I'm reading in the old King James Version, but it's not too far from what Don read. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do we know something about the wiles of the devil? Huh? Sure we do. You can't be the age that you are and not know something about the wiles of the devil. He is out to get us. And he will go to any length to get us. I've just been visiting my brother, and we talk about family and family situations even. My brother and I, we grew up in a godly home. Mom and Dad, they taught us. We went to Sunday school and church since we were this tall. We have heard and know the word to a large extent. And yet we see members of the family going astray, losing it. They don't get it. How is that? Well, unquestionably, they don't have the whole armor on. That must be the problem. Then he says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Like this is not a Gaza war. No. He says, we wrestle against principles, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the battle. This is what we fight against. And therefore, I look at myself and I say, Rick, you cannot depend on your own strength. You won't make it. You won't make it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Put it on, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we in the evil day? Huh? Are we in the evil day now? I see more like this than like this. We are in an evil time. Principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. Like this is happening around us. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Oh, so now we're not even talking of being on the offensive. We're just talking about standing. Standing. We're this little chorus that says, I shall not be moved. Well, that indicates to me the importance of standing. Yes, there may very well be times when we go on the offensive, as David did against Goliath. That's absolutely a possibility. But considering what we are fighting, we better stand. Stand. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth. Oh, there's a big one. Truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Wow. Truth is somewhat hard to find nowadays, isn't it? We know what the truth is. We know that God's word is truth. We know that. But how many people have thrown it away? Cast it aside. It's not relevant today. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? I do. I pray God. And I know it's not my righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ in me. And I pray God, I need this. I need this righteousness. Having on a breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I'm a stubble jumper. I grew up out there in the prairies, and when I'd go riding horseback, like most of the time, those horses weren't shod that I rode. And I remember my first experience of riding a horse in the mountains. And I thought, this poor animal, his feet must be just smashed, because this horse was shod, and of course, these shod feet on the rocks, it's loud when you're used to just riding on black dirt, and all of a sudden this metal is crushing against the rocks, and it just like sounds like, man, this, by the time I get out of here, this animal would be an absolute lame wreck. But that's why they were shot. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, when it's talking there about the feet and your feet shod, it to me, it indicates move, advance, walk, travel. Shod indicates to me that, hey, sometimes you're on hard ground. Sometimes you're on hard surfaces. You're still going to need to be protected, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. How's your faith? How's your faith? I like your smile. Indicates to me that, oh yeah, I got it. I know what you're saying. Taking the shield of faith. Do we have confidence and trust in God? The one that we talk about, the one that we sing about, do we have confidence? We know what we're talking about. We know what we're singing about. This faith, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many of you have ever experienced fiery darts of the wicked? Huh? Come on. Raise your hands if you have. Wow, the fiery darts of the wicked, they come at us from every angle. I've experienced them. Like it's, when I listen to the prayer list and the people that are prayed for and people have passed away and loved ones have been lost and people get sick and there's just challenges in life, constant, isn't there? I have them. Challenges all the time. Take the helmet of salvation. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that? Do you know absolutely beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved? If the trump of God sounds before the sun is down tonight, that's good. I hear people say, well, I'm still on the right side of the grass. And I keep telling people, you know what? It doesn't matter what side of the grass I'm on the right side. Because when this carcass gets planted in the ground and the sod grows over it, that's perfectly fine. Because my spirit and my soul are gonzo. They are in the presence of the Lord. My salvation is absolutely secure. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then it says, praying always. One speaker once said, you should not have a prayer life. You're not smiling. You shouldn't have a prayer life. You know what he said? You should have a life of prayer. And as I was speaking with my brother here just a day ago, and he mentioned sometimes the challenge of a verse like, pray without ceasing. And I said, Brother Lorne, I think I'm beginning to get the handle on it. When you are praying without ceasing, you don't have a prayer life. You have a life of prayer. In every situation, about every matter in your life, you are praying, and praising. Lord God, bless the words to our hearts in Jesus' name.